Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 53, with Sarah Kornack and Bethian Schwamberger. Today on our show, we're talking with Kelly Miller of threeboysandadog.com. If you ever wanted to learn more about Twitter, then this is the episode for you. Kelly shares tons of resources that will help you to stay on top of Twitter and gain more followers. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
So today on the show, we are super excited to welcome Kelly Miller. She's been blogging at threeboysandadog.com since 2006 and considers herself a natural writer, often writing 2 blog posts per day. Kelly also hosts Google Hangouts each week called Learn to Blog. And she recently added a membership forum for Learn to Blog subscribers. In addition to sharing her extensive blogging knowledge, Kelly writes about products she loves, kid-friendly recipes, and all things related to life as a stay-at-home mom. She lives on the Gulf Coast with her 3 boys, her husband, and of course, her dog. So welcome to the show, Kelly. We're so excited to talk with you today.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Kelly, could you tell us a little bit more about your life, your family, and your business?
Sure. So I've been blogging since November 2006, as you guys said, but I've only been at the .com since 2009. I was a Blogspot blogger before that. Busy, super busy. 3 active boys. We do everything from football and baseball to ballet and jazz. So, you know, it's continuous running with them. And little known fact, my middle boy actually got a dog a year ago. So that took us up to 2 dogs. And then his little stinker got my dog pregnant. So now we have 3 dogs. So now we have 3 boys and 3 dogs, but you know.
That's too funny. Kelly, we know you are super busy as a mom of 3 with tons going on, but you're able to put out so much content, and then you also have these Google Hangouts. I mean, you're just doing so much with your blog. How do you get it all done? What does a typical day look like for you?
I don't get it all done. Shh, don't tell anyone. Seriously. That's how I do it. I just don't. My husband is super, super, super helpful. My boys are older now. I have a 14, almost 15-year-old, and a 12-year-old, and an 8-year-old. So, you know, they're getting to the age where, for the most part, they're self-sufficient. You know, my 12-year-old can cook. So if it has to, you know, if I have to go that route, if I'm just slammed with deadlines or something like that on the blog, then he's certainly capable of feeding the rest of the family if my husband's not home. You know, like I said, my husband's very helpful, but I also have employees. So when my site cranks out 2, 3, sometimes even 4 posts a day, it's not always just me. I have writers that write regularly. I have 2 assistants that help me out. So, you know, I've gotten to that point where it's a business and I have helpers now. So
how does your business help to support your family? If you've grown enough that you can hire this additional help? So how much does your business help your family financially?
It helps. It's not, right now I'm still putting so much back into it. I just did a complete redesign. I put 3 sites together and it cost me a fortune. I've bought quite a few things for my home office, you know, things like that from my business. But it does, it absolutely helps. I make pretty decent money off of affiliate networks, and I make pretty decent money off of ad networks, and then I have sponsored posts and Twitter parties, and you know, the forum now, we have a little bit of income coming from our paid forum over at learntobloghangouts.com, so it's helping, and every day I see it growing a little bit more. I think we're I'm going to tell you a secret that nobody else knows. I think we're getting ready to buy a new house, so.
Wow. Yay.
Yeah.
I guess with 3 dogs, you need a little bit more space now.
With 3 boys, we need a little bit more space. These guys are huge. They're taking up a lot of room.
So, Callie, with hiring help in terms of those extra writers on your blog and some virtual assistants, how did you find those individuals to work on your business?
To get started, I put a post on my site that I was looking for writers. And so my writers, right now I don't have any paid writers. They are product reviewers, so they get product and they write about it. But I have had paid writers in the past, and I probably will have paid writers in the future. But I put a post out on my site that says, hey, I'm hiring. There's also a Facebook group called VAs for Hire, and I'm a member of that. So when I need little things here or there that my assistants can't do, I'll do a little shout out, hey, I need some help with this, send me your pricing. And then in our forum, we have a place where people write, you know, that they do this or they do that, or they write that they're looking to hire or that they can be hired or whatever. So
those are some great tips. I think a lot of us might forget that we can actually just kind of reach out to our readers and say, hey, we're looking for some writers. That's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're going to, they read you, obviously. So why wouldn't they want to help you, you know, crank out content or whatever?
Right. And they're already so familiar with your style and everything. So that's a genius strategy right there.
So Kelly, we noticed that you are doing amazing on Twitter. Could you walk us through how many followers you do have on Twitter and your strategy behind Twitter, how you got so many followers and how that influences your business?
So I think I have just slightly under 29,000, which to me is not like this ridiculous number. You know, I mean, I have more than Kmart, or I did at last check, but
that's pretty good.
And more than Dairy Queen at last check. But, you know, I'm nowhere near Walmart or anything. So I am just, you know, I'm authentic. I respond to people. I reach out to people. I also use this little known tidbit called Just Unfollow. So you go into Just Unfollow and you can unfollow the people that aren't active. You can unfollow the people that aren't following you. And you can find other people like in your niche or in your that follow people like you, and you can follow them. So you can do that on Twitter as well, obviously. I can say, you know what, I write about homeschooling, so I'll do a search for homeschooling and just follow all the people on there. And people are more likely to follow you back. You know, if you follow them, they're going to follow you. But with Just Unfollow, and it's a paid thing, but with Just Unfollow, I can do it quickly and easily. I can just put in homeschooling and just click follow, 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 follow.
That's a great idea. And do you mind sharing how much does Just Unfollow cost?
There are different levels. I think the smallest level is free, and you can only do like 25 a day or something like that, or 25 okay. 24-hour period. And then I think it goes up to like $9.99 a month, $19.99 a month. You know, it just keeps going all the way into entrepreneur, which is like $300 or something ridiculous. I don't know. But yeah, I think there's a free part where it's only about 25 or 50 that you can do a day.
I think that would be a great idea for a lot of moms to try to really help them connect with other moms in their niche and, you know, just build up that following. Because I know I've done what you've described, which is, you know, I try to just be active on Twitter, engage with people who are similar. As I find a new mom or new mom blog that I'm interested in, I'll head over to Twitter and follow her. And like you said, a lot of times they will follow you back if they see, okay, we have similar interests. But Just Unfollow sounds like a great tool to just kind of bring it to the next level and really get in front of more people.
Yeah. Make sure you use your hashtags. So if you write about homeschooling, do some research. Do some searches on Google even for homeschooling hashtags to use on Twitter. And use them. You know, strike up a conversation with somebody and respond and stick in that hashtag so that other people can find you. And search that hashtag so you can find other people. And just talk. I mean, it's like a party. To me, Twitter's like a party. You know, you don't just go to a party and sit down and expect people to come to you. You go into a party and you walk around and you introduce yourself. Hey, I'm Kelly. My boys are driving me nuts. You know, I see yours hanging on your leg. You just strike up a conversation. It's the same thing with Twitter. And then once you make that relationship with those people at the party, then you exchange phone numbers. Well, then you follow each other on Twitter. So that's how I do it.
Love it.
I was curious, Kelly, how many times a day do you think you send out a tweet?
Oh, it depends on the day. If I'm doing a Twitter party, you know. But if I'm not doing a Twitter party, I don't know, probably 20. Some of them are scheduled. So one of my assistants goes in. I give her a list of posts that I want to promote each week. And she goes in and she pulls quotes from those posts and she schedules them out for throughout the week. So it's a little quote with a link so that people will click on through to my site. I use Twitter Feed. And Twitter Feed allows you to automatically tweet people's feeds. So I have one set up for Kraft. So when Kraft puts a new recipe on, I share it with my Twitter followers using the hashtag recipe, and I tag Kraft. So that goes out, I think, once or twice a day. Some of my tribe mates have the same kind of thing go on, and you can edit it. You can customize it so you can make it a retweet or you can make it a quote, like it'll pull the meta description, or you just totally customize it, and that's free. So it does, my tribe mates, it does Kraft. There's a great blogger that writes blogging tips and stuff called GrowMap, and I retweet her posts whenever she has something new, and it's all done automatically. So that kind of stuff, it looks like it's coming from me, and it is coming from me because I set it up, but it's not taking my actual time anymore once I set it. And then, you know, when I pin stuff on Pinterest, I make sure it tweets. When I check in places on Foursquare, I make sure it tweets. When I do things on Instagram, I make them tweet. So, you know, it depends. If I'm on vacation, oh, it could be hundreds of times a day because I take a ton of Instagram pictures.
I love that. I think I've actually been looking for a tool like that. So can you name that tool again? That is it, it's Twitter Stream? Is that?
Twitter Feed, like an RSS
Twitter
feed. Twitter Feed.
Okay. So is it twitterfeed.com or?
It's twitterfeed.com. Okay. And it's free, like I said.
Okay, that's awesome. Because like you said, I know there's, you know, different scheduling systems you can use, but generally they're paid and still it seems tricky to retweet and things like that. But that sounds perfect.
Yeah, and then I use Hootsuite. Hootsuite is, you know, I pretty much never sign into Twitter.com. I do all of my Twitter stuff through Hootsuite. Just because I used to have so many Twitter accounts with all the different blogs, and it was easier to keep up with it all in one spot, and then I got used to it, so I really like it. I can auto-schedule, so if I tweet something, if I go in and write something, and I can push the little auto-schedule button, and Twitter or Hootsuite will send it out when it's most likely to get the most views. So that's kind of neat.
That's really cool. And then can you talk a little bit about Twitter parties and for our listeners who might not know what those are all about and how they can be a great strategy and just that whole process of how that works?
Yeah, a Twitter party is the probably easiest way to get chatter about your business. So what it is a hashtag that you use, and you're going to have to research a hashtag that nobody else is using, you know, at the time. But you use this hashtag, you set a specific time, just like any other regular in real world party. You make a time, people RSVP. So we usually do like a blog post, and then we have, I think it's called InLinks. I don't know if we use InLinks or if we use Linky tools, but where people put their URL and they put their Twitter ID. So they're saying, hey, I'll be there. And then you go, you know, you do a search for the hashtag, and your host will usually do questions, and then all the party participants respond to those questions. And throughout the party, if it's a sponsored party, then usually the host is also promoting whatever brand is hosting the party, you know, whichever brand has sponsored the party. And then most of the time, I would say like 98% of the time, whatever the sponsoring brand is, does giveaways. So, you know, it attracts a bigger audience of people and the chatter starts going and the impressions can be in the millions for a 1-hour party.
Wow. that's insane. I mean, just thinking about a million impressions, it's like we might get a couple of thousand if we're really lucky, but wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, we messed up. Crystal, my partner at LearnToBlogHangouts.com, and I, we messed up, and we scheduled a Twitter party for a baby food in the middle of the presidential debate one year.
Oh, no.
Right? We had over 3.5 million impressions. We were higher up on the trending things than presidential debate was.
That's too funny.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's impressive. I mean, I guess that just shows the power of, you know, all of these moms coming together and they all want to talk about this topic. And wow, that's really cool.
How do you begin these relationships with these brands to host these Twitter parties for them?
When a brand contacts me, so I've gotten to the point where I almost never reach out to a brand. I get, you know, thousands of pitches in my inbox every single day. So now I have, you know, I have a standard, what I call my repitch. So I repitch them, and it has in my signature, ask me about my Twitter parties. So then they do. And that's where we get started, you know, talk things out and figure out when is the best time. I don't host as many Twitter parties as I used to because time. But I have been a co-host or a panelist for quite a few lately where other bloggers reach out to me and say, hey, if I pay you this much money, will you attend the party and help keep the chatter going? So that's another way to do it.
Oh, okay. That's a good strategy there. And I'm curious, with these brands, what are they typically providing for their giveaways?
Depends on the brand. I mean, I've done things like gift baskets. So the baby food people did gift baskets full of, obviously, their baby foods. I've done just gift cards. We've had some companies that didn't really have a product, and so they just did gift cards. Or we've had brands that had really big products, and they really couldn't ship those products to the winners. So, again, they did gift cards. You know, like to Target or Walmart or Amazon. Yeah, depends on the company. I mean, Crystal and I, we just did our own because when we launched the forum, we said, you know what, let's do a Twitter party. Let's get some people talking about it. So we offered a site critique as one of our giveaways. We offered a free consulting as one of our giveaways. And then we offered 3-month memberships to the forum for some people to win. So...
wow, that's a great strategy. I'm curious, too, how many followers would a brand want you to have on Twitter before they'd say, okay, you're ready to host a party or, we're, you know, you're desirable enough?
Honestly, the number of followers doesn't necessarily matter. It depends on if you can prove it. So in order to get started with Twitter parties, then you need to try to reach out to some of the companies like MomSpark. MomSpark does Twitter parties, and they pay, I think it's $75 for a panelist. So if you sign up for MomSpark.com, I think it's .com, just do a Google search for MomSpark. So if you sign up as a blogger through them, then you can start applying when they have a Twitter party. You can apply to be a panelist. And then that gives you some stuff in your case studies to be able to say, hey, I participated in this Twitter party as a panelist, and these were the stats that we were able to get. And it'll help you grow your Twitter as well.
That is a great idea. Thank you so much. You've been sharing so many amazing resources. I'm so excited.
No problem. That's what we do over at LearnToBlogHangouts.com.
Yeah, we will definitely be linking to that too in the show notes for this for sure, because I've seen some of your Learn to Blog Hangouts and they are really good. You and Crystal really know what you're doing, so I highly recommend those for anyone listening.
Thank you.
So I know you said you can just Google to try to find, you know, trending hashtags on a given topic. Are there any other great websites or resources that really help you narrow down those hashtags in the given niche?
Hashtag.org.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. hashtag.org. It's my go-to to see if there's a hashtag that's been registered. So before I do a Twitter party, I go check and see if somebody is using it. So I'll do a search on Twitter and see what pops up. But I'll also go see if it's been registered. And at hashtag.org, you can register your hashtag.
Very interesting. We need to get some hashtags going, Sarah.
Sounds good. Kelly, we've been kind of skirting around your Google Hangouts that you do for Learn to Blog. But could you maybe tell us a little bit more about how those work or how they help your business grow, things of that nature?
So every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Central over on Google Plus, you can do a search for hashtag Learn to Blog. Gotta use the hashtag. Crystal, my little business partner, and I do Learn to Blog. I mean, we teach people, depending on what's popular, what's in the news at the time, what people are asking about. We do 1 hour where we chit-chat and we cover a topic about blogging, whether it's how to improve your Twitter or how to use Pinterest to increase your page views or how to read Google Analytics when they changed, how to increase your AdSense. Whatever. We've been doing it for a year and a half. I think we've had over 70 hangouts now, all about blogging topics. And if you go to my site, learntobloghangouts.com, or our site, learntobloghangouts.com, and click the little news start here, you can see all of the different hangouts that we've done. So all you have to do is search the hashtag on Tuesday, go to the hangout, and then if you want to be added to the list, then just leave us a little message. Hey, I want to be added to your list to be notified of future hangouts. And we will add you to our circles so that we can notify you. We also have a Facebook group that we've started because of the hangouts. And it has, I think it's right at 1,500 members now that are all bloggers wanting to grow their blogs.
I would imagine this is a huge traffic driver to your Learn to Blog website hosting these hangouts.
It can be, but we're really bad. We're really behind. We started the website with this great idea of transcribing every hangout that we did and any links that we mentioned, making sure that they were in these posts and doing these great Pinterest images and uploading the video there, after the hangout. Well, we did about 4. And then we didn't have any more time. So it's not, we do update that new Start Here page every couple weeks or so to keep it, to keep the list of the hangouts, but we're actually in the process of trying to find some guest bloggers and maybe hiring somebody or a couple somebodies to get all those posts written up so that all the information is there and the links that we mentioned are right there clickable and to make it a really good place for people to go.
Well, it sounds like it makes sense to hire out that portion. You sound so busy actually being the host of so many things, Twitter and the hangouts. And so to have somebody do kind of the manual labor work of making it into a post, that seems to make a lot of sense.
Right. But the problem was, the reason that we didn't to start with is because our hangouts are free. Our Facebook group is free. So we were giving out all this information, but we didn't have income from Learn to Blog. So, we had already put a lot of money into it, a lot of time into it, and then we have to pay the hosting for the website and the design we had to pay for the website. So we had all this money that we had been dumping into a business, basically, that was a nonprofit. I mean, we weren't making any money on it. So when in August, we launched the paid VIP forum, and we go even more in depth with our teachings, and we do challenges and things like that. So now we're starting to make, it's a very minimal amount right now, but we are starting to make some money off of Learn to Blog, so then we can put that back into Learn to Blog.
I can see why you didn't want to put more money into that. When everything was for free. That seems like the catch-22, I'm sure, for so many bloggers. It's that balance of you're already putting money in and tons of time, but there's so much more you want to do, but that either means creating more time out of magic out of the air for spending money that your website's not generating.
Right. Well, you know, here's a little piece of advice. This is what I did when I started blogging, and I realized, okay, my blog is getting bigger than what I am, and I'm not making money off of it yet. So when I reached that point, there were things that I needed to do that I couldn't do, or I didn't have time to do, or it would take me longer to do than somebody who was an expert at it. So I actually went to work for somebody online. I worked 4 hours a week, and I was paid whatever, I don't remember what it was at the time, but like $15 an hour. So I was able to hire somebody for 5 hours a week at $10 an hour to work on my site that was able to do those things that I couldn't do. So I was making money strictly to pay somebody to work on my site. And I did that for like 6 months, and it got my site to the point where it was a money-making machine, and I was able to quit the online job and just focus on my blog.
That is really interesting. I never would have thought to approach that problem in that way, but hey, that's like, you know, because if you're, like you said, if you're kind of at that stage where you're still kind of bootstrapping because your blog's not making money, you're like, well, okay, but how do you get it to the next level? But that's a pretty smart little strategy there.
Yeah, it worked for me.
So in 6 months, since they had this expertise that you didn't have, they were able to add that monetization to your site and you were ready to go?
They were, because I had someone working for me that knew what they were doing on other social media platforms and were able to work. So if I sat down at my computer to work for 2 hours, come on, an hour of it would be spent actually working, because the other hour would be spent playing on Twitter or Facebook or researching or getting sidetracked reading somebody else's blog. So when I'm paying somebody to work for me, they're actually working all those hours. So, you know, I was able to get more work out of them. And so what it did, in those 6 months, my site went from making under 5,000 page views a month to making, at that time, to making over 30,000 page views a month, because I had Wow. somebody else doing the work that needed to be done. And then when my page views increased, I started making more money. And companies started reaching out to me, and they would want to sponsor posts, or they would want to put ads up on my site. When you have more page views, your affiliate sales do better. You know, now, of course, I have way more than that, but that was kind of my turning point, was hiring somebody, and I had to have the money to do it, so I went to work.
When was that? What year was that?
That was 2010,
okay,
I guess, about 4 years ago. Of course, now, you know, like I said, I make a lot more than that page view wise, but it was the turning point on my site.
Very cool. So Kelly, do you have either a favorite book about blogging, or maybe your favorite, or business book in general, or just a favorite quote that always gets you going?
I really don't have a quote. I do have a book that I turn to on a regular basis, and it's called Pro Bloggers, Secrets for Blogging Your Way to a Six-Figure Income. So Darren Rouse is a pro blogger. I don't know if you guys know him, but he is the man. He tells you everything you need to do to be rich and famous as a blogger, but it just makes me, you know, it just gets my willpower going again. And when I'm kind of in a funk and I feel like I'm stuck and I've hit a plateau, and I'll pull his little book out and just read a couple chapters, and it gets me going again.
That's great. We'll definitely link to that in the show notes. And I think I have the audiobook format of that book, but I haven't made it all the way through it. So
yeah,
I need to go back.
Or it's a, not really that big, but it's a lot of information in it.
Right.
And a lot of step-by-step, do this, do that things.
Kelly, earlier you had mentioned, and I think in our just email conversations, you had mentioned the sheer volume of emails that you get in a day.
Yeah.
Do you mind sharing that volume of emails and how you handle that?
I do a lot of deleting.
Okay, good.
I do a lot of filtering. So all of my social media emails actually go into one little inbox. And every once in a while, I'll go in and do a search if I'm looking for something in particular. I mean, like right now it has 18,379 emails in it. Just in that place. So when I'm searching for something, you know, I just search by keyword. For example, if I'm working on a roundup for cherry desserts, then I'll go there and I'll do a search for cherries or cherry. I try to clean it out, but I try to not clean it out too much. And then I have my repitch. So I have these templates. I have templates for people that are requesting that I interview them. I have templates for people that want me to promote their contest. All these different templates. So I can search. Again, I search by keyword. If people don't want me to do a review, I'll search sample, because you get lots of emails for people wanting, or I get lots of emails for people wanting me to review their product, and it always says, we can send samples, you know. So I do a search for sample, it pulls up all those emails, and I just reply, paste, reply, paste, reply, paste. So I can knock them out pretty quickly.
That's a great strategy there. And I have to say too, Kelly, I'm so impressed that you, like, that we somehow got in. Like, you know what I mean? Like, with your inbox, it's like, oh, I don't even know how we got a response from you and we're able to get you on the podcast. So I'm pretty excited about that.
I did a search for Learn to Blog, actually. And you guys had said that in your email, you said that you were impressed by our Learn to Blog stuff. So when I did my search for Learn to Blog so that I could respond to all the people that had questions about it, you came through. So you got a response.
That's genius. See, I didn't even realize what I was doing at the time. I was just saying, hey, I love it. We'll have to think about that, Sarah, when we send requests to other busy ladies. We need to mention whatever it is that they're probably busy working on at the moment. And maybe that's they're true. Like Kelly, yeah.
I mean, didn't you tell us it's like 3,000 emails a day or something?
Thousands.
Yeah. Wow.
If I'm working on something, like I'm getting ready, every year I say I've lost my mind, but I'm getting ready to do my holiday gift guide stuff again. This will be my 6th annual holiday gift guide, and I do a full guide. So when I say a guide, I mean like 10 to 20 products, sometimes it's less, each day from November 1st to the day before Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Wow. That's a guide.
Yeah. It just makes, so I have like, you know, a guide for baby girls and baby boys and tween boys and tween girls and teens and, you know, all the different ages. And then I do dogs and I do couples and like all these different guides. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of email. It's a lot of organization. So whenever I send my pitches out and my press releases and all that junk about my upcoming 6th annual holiday gift guide, then I'm going to get even more email every day. And they all have to be responded to. Ugh.
It's making me love my inbox.
I know, right? Oh, yeah, I don't envy that. I mean, it's obviously you're doing great. So that's the good part about having a busy inbox. But wow, yeah.
Stressful, and it's seriously, my inbox is a full-time job, but that's why I just, at the end of the day, I just kind of do start bulk deleting. I'm like, you know what, I've responded to as many pitches as I can respond to, so we're going to hit sample, and boom, it's gone. I'm deleting them.
That's a good point. I mean, and especially, too, when you're dealing with a company, I'm sure they're used to not getting a response from everyone, you know what I mean? Because they're sending out a lot of pitches, so I'm sure they know how busy the bloggers are that they're reaching out to. So, I mean, I think that, you know, that makes sense. You can't review, you know, everything that comes your way, so.
Right. There's a website book, something that it must be a website. I don't know. It could be an ebook. Anyway, there's something, it's like the 2-minute inbox. I don't know what it's called. I can't remember. But it tells you how to quickly clear out your inbox. I think it's the 2-minute inbox. You'll have to Google search that.
Okay.
Kelly, is there any other, we've mentioned so many resources already in this episode. Clearly, you're really using the technology that's out there to run your business. Is there any other huge resource that you turn to on a regular basis to help you run your business or stay organized?
I use Outlook. It helps me with my calendar, my to-do list, my emails. And there's a resource that's called Clear Context. And I believe that you can get it for Gmail as well. Don't quote me on that because I'm not 100% sure. But it's Clear Context, and it really helps you sort and organize everything that's coming into you in the form of, you know, stuff for your calendar, stuff for your task list, stuff for your email. Yeah, it really helps me stay organized, and I couldn't live without it.
Great. I actually use Outlook for my personal email as well, and very few people do, so we hear a lot about Gmail resources, but not a lot about Outlook. So I will definitely look into that one for myself.
I've tried. Gmail just doesn't work for me. I mean, I have Gmail accounts, but I have them all filtered into my Outlook. Everything is in my Outlook. Everything. Gmail, Yahoo, my personal stuff. I was a international exchange coordinator for years, so I found host families for exchange students up until just like the last year, I guess, I stopped doing it. So all of that email, all of my blogs, I had 3 blogs at one time, so all of those come there, the Learn to Blog, everything is right there in one spot, which saves me time because I don't have to keep logging into all these different places. Everything can be handled in one location.
That sounds great, and I have to say, I used to use Outlook for any jobs I had had in the past, like working at a nonprofit for a while and things like that. And I loved it. I just didn't know I could put my Gmail into, like, filter it via Outlook. So I'm going to need to figure that out because I do think Outlook it's way easier to keep things organized and is more user-friendly than just going right into Gmail.
So if you do a Google search for how to get my Gmail in Outlook, okay, it tells step by step exactly what you need to do. And you have to go into your Gmail account and actually check more. I don't know, something you have to do in there to authorize it.
Okay.
So that they'll send it to your Outlook. But yeah, it's doable. And I think you have to use a POP3. I think you have to use the IMAP. But anyway, one or the other. Just Google it. And it'll pop right on up for you.
Okay, great. I'll have to try that out. So, Kelly, we've learned a ton from talking with you today. There are just so many new things I want to try now. And for everyone listening, I know they're going to be really excited to jump in with both feet on Twitter because, you know, it's such a powerful way to grow an audience. So I really appreciate everything you've shared with us today. To wrap things up, do you have either a funny or just super cute mom moment that's happened recently?
Oh, no. Boring. Surely I do. With 3 boys, surely. So I've recently started homeschooling my youngest. But right before we started homeschooling again, because I homeschooled my oldest, and then I didn't homeschool for a while, and then seriously, like, 2 weeks ago, I started homeschooling my youngest. But before that, he was in the public school system, and he was going on a field trip. So we were coming down the road, and there's this big building being built. And I said to my husband, hey, you know what that's going to be? And he says, no, what? I said, it's going to be a crematorium. Well, my little one says, oh, that's where we're going on a field trip. We're going to the crematorium. I'm like, no, you're not. You're going to the Explorium. So the Explorium is a science museum for children, but he was so excited because they were going to the crematorium on a field trip.
That'd be a bit morbid for elementary school.
Kind of a bummer.
Isn't that horrible? So funny. I'm going to have to laugh at him forever.
That's a good one.
I am.
So for all of our listeners, who are listening to this episode, could you list out all of your websites, contact information?
So my Twitter handle is Kelly B. Miller. That's K-E-L-L-I. The letter B as in boy, Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R. You can find me at 3, the number, not the word, 3boysandadog.com. You can also find me at learntobloghangouts.com. And yeah, that's kind of it now because I've combined all three of my other sites into one. So if you go to 3boysandadog.com, then you can find all of my other social media places. I'm on Google+, I'm on Pinterest, I'm on Foursquare, Instagram. I don't know. What are all the other places? I'm everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
Well, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun, Kelly.
Thank you.
Kelly had so many resources to share. I'm sure you'll want to check out her show notes. Head on over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/53 for the show notes for this episode. And we will have all the links that you need to find the resources that Kelly listed. And if you want to read the book that Kelly recommended, Pro Blogger, Secrets for Blogging Your Way to a Six-Figure Income, consider listening to it instead. When you give Audible a try, you get one free book to listen to. So Pro Blogger, Secrets for Blogging Your Way to a Six-Figure Income might be a great one to start with. To get that free audiobook, just go to audibletrial.com/brilliantbusinessmoms and you can give Audible a try and get one free audiobook. You don't have to pick the one that Kelly recommended, but in case you wanted to pick that one, it is there for you to try. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope you learned something new. I know I always learn something from talking to these very talented women. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.